Question 73. Who shall give you that which is your own? Luke 16:12. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? When raising children, we watch how they handle things of their own, and thereby decide how and when we will commit to them things of greater value. We reason that if they learn caution and care in dealing with their own things, they'll use caution and care dealing with the things committed to their trust by others. But in this scripture, Jesus seems to teach the opposite. His question is, if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? The committed Christian, he whose desire it is to please and walk with the Lord, will naturally desire himself to be considered trustworthy and his life profitable to the kingdom of God. We all want to be considered as family members, brothers of Jesus Christ, the firstborn of many, and to pray our Father in full assurance that he is indeed our Father. Jesus mentioned the stages of this walk for us. John 15:15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. We see here that they were once considered by Christ as servants, stage 1, and later as friends, stage 2. After a person receives Christ, John says that he is given the power to become a child of God. How do we become sons of God? These stages of development are clearly seen in the gospel accounts of the disciples. As they left all and followed Christ, they were placing themselves in his care, and in doing so, as servants to a Lord. This is the stage in which most sincere Christians live. Some may never make it to this point at all, but if they do, there's planted within them a seed of yearning. This yearning is much like a desire for seniority in Christ, or perhaps better, a familiarity with him. Not a rank or status to lord over others, but an acquaintance with him, a closeness like one would find between a trusted right-hand man and a superior. Paul puts it, that I may know him. As servants, the Lord said plainly, we are not made privy to plans, actions, and strategies. We just carry out orders and do as we're told. This demeans and embarrasses the servant that has not fully controlled his pride. Pride is the problematic cause of most setbacks in spiritual matters. We have one leader, one Lord over all, under whom falls all the rank and file, peons, drudges, and nobodies. We need not become ambitious in this kingdom. We need to become faithful in that which is least. It's up to the Lord to make us ruler over much. The greatest goal should be to anticipate the return of the Lord of the vineyard and do as we were commissioned, faithfully, to the end. In our service to the King, we read from the Bible instructions that guide us along this path, and its words alert us to what is and is not sin, what pitfalls and consequences lie ahead in our path. As we read and study and learn and become more familiar with the revelations given our apostles and prophets, we soon see that God had ongoing relationships and even conversations with these men and women. This creates a desire in the one who loves his Redeemer to have such a relationship. Headlong or shortcut attempts to gain this relationship can lead some into unhealthy motivations and even obsessions. But in some, it leaves a longing, a yearning for the relationship and conversation, but more so, the acceptance into that family circle. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. A verse in Isaiah 30:21 has always created a desire like this in me. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. To desire this communion within itself is not wrong. To attempt to extract it, push it, presume it, is definitely wrong and ineffectual. If we desire a walk with God, in which He directs our path and orders our steps, we must be faithful to the light given to others before us. The apostles were given commission to take the gospel to every place. They did that through their writing and personal witness. We must heed and obey this witness of theirs and be faithful to their vision. If we ever expect to experience God's leadership on a personal level, we must be faithful to the light and leading of the prophets and apostles before us. As it is, we need only read for a few minutes before we run across a passage we may have explained away, counted as unimportant or unnecessary, impertinent or confusing. In truth, it was not confusing or unimportant. The reality is that we simply did not wish to comply with it. Rebellion is not an option, so we feign ignorance or dismiss it on theological grounds. We fear it may ruin us socially or in our meeting. It may cause us to lose our job or make us appear foolish. All these concerns are probably very real, but unconditional obedience is rare. So is friendship. To be friends with Christ, to be on the inside, to be one whom Christ can lead anywhere, reveal anything, one to whom Jesus can tell anything, would have to be the height of glory. This level of friendship is an honorable goal, the aspiration to which can serve as motivation for surmounting any problem, conquering any habit, paying any price, or suffering any persecution. It certainly should serve as impetus for obedience. First, we must prove faithful in obedience to the scriptures we have before us. No more excuses, no more justifications. How can we seek a new revelation from God whose written words we ignore? We must remember that we are seeking instruction from a God tired of speaking to a disobedient people. How can we seek friendship from a Savior whom we will not obey? How foolish we must sound when we ask for guidance from the mouth of God, all the while ignoring the words of His prophets and apostles. God has given revelation to the prophets and apostles of old. You must evaluate your obedience to the revelation given to them. Have you been faithful to the words given to you through the Scriptures? If not, why would you think that you would receive a supernatural communication to obey? What assurance does God have that you're willing to obey His living word of guidance if your history shows that you've not been faithful to the revelation of the Scriptures? Jesus asked, "Why do you pray for personal guidance and revelation? If you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?"